have visited McDonald's for lunch? Let me see your hands. A McDonald's. Ever. All right. And the person behind the counter, and some of you are saying, McDonald's. The person behind the counter took your order, right? I might want a number one, which is, by the way, for those of you who don't know, that's a Big Mac, right? I want a number one with Coke. And before they finish the order, the person behind the counter, now, this is up to a few years ago, would ask you this question. Would you like to what? Supersize it. Now, I mean, again, let's in the spirit of truthfulness, how many of you said yes to the person behind the counter when they asked you if you wanted to supersize? Ever. Now, some of you are saying, you know what, I repented from that sin years ago, and I'm not... Now, you know, I don't think they ask about, you know, if you would like to supersize stuff anymore, right? Because there was a movie, a documentary that came out not too long ago. It was called Supersize Me. And the guy basically went on a 30-day McDonald's diet, and it was all downhill. You got to watch the documentary. It's quite entertaining. Now, the truth of the matter is that we live in a world, in a culture where bigger, at least there we are told, is what? It's better. Where bigger is better. Would you like to get your order supersized? If you go to a Perfumania store and, you know, you ask for, I don't know, CK1 or what's another good? Angel, or I should know these like by heart, but I don't. You know, and you ask for a certain bottle, they say, no, you know what? You should get the bigger bottle because you can get, you know, 50% more, or, you know, double the size by just adding a couple of dollars. Because bigger is what? At least we are told that, right? Even in spiritual matters, we think that bigger is better. Right? If I had a bigger choir, that would be better. Or if we, you know, had a bigger bus, it would be better. No, it wouldn't be better? No, not that, right? Sucks too much gas, right? You know, fill in the blank. Bigger is better. The truth of the matter is that when you look at Scripture, Almost 100% of the time, we are told otherwise. Right? Here you are, the children of God, going into battle against an army of countless thousands of soldiers, and you think that the good thing would be for you to take what? A bigger army to face that army. Yet God, over and over and over again, tells them, you know what? Get rid of some of those people. Your army's too big. You're too strong. What happens is when we rely on our own strength, we do not allow God to operate. And so God constantly is telling his people, don't think of things as bigger is better. Think of it as smaller is better. Smaller is better. Because smaller will allow you not to rely on you, but to rely on God. Let's read Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and it became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in his branches. Again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it in the large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is what I compare the kingdom of God two. Mustard seed and yeast. Why would Jesus compare the kingdom of God to mustard seed or yeast? Now, I don't know much about baking, okay? But some of you folks who are really good at baking, you're going to have to help me out here. When you are working with dough, how much yeast do you need? Do you need like a whole, like 2 cups of yeast in order to work? What happens with that if you do that? It what? It explodes, right? So you need how much? What is it? Like a tablespoon, right? Not a lot. How about the mustard seed? Have you ever seen a mustard seed? You've probably seen it, right? I have one here in my hand. Do you see it? Oh, you can't see it? All right, so I'm going to have to walk here. And in fact, I'm not just going to walk. I may give some of you some mustard seeds. All right. You're going to have to, there you go, open your hand. That's it. Ready? You actually got one of the big ones. All right, ready? Actually, you're going to have to help me out here. Why don't you take a couple and share with those in your row here. Okay. Ready? Share across. Here you go. All right. Now, you can't take more than one, okay? You can only take one, all right? The rest, I'm going to take for me, and I'm going to plant some mustard. All right, let's see. Share. All right. There you go. All right, share. Let's see. Oh, you have, I gave you a lot there. Got it. Did you get mustard seed? Did you get one?
Yeah.
Cameron, did you get one? That's it. There we go. All right. Paul. Oh, you got two. Let's see. Oh, there you go. Okay, what can you do with this? That's a very good question. Don't eat it. You gotta hold it there. Hold it. See. Can you share across? All right. Did you get one? Here we go. All right. You got it? Don't lose it. Don't lose your faith. Pastor, I lost my faith. Look how tiny that is. Jesus said when he was asked, how much faith do I need? Please help my unbelief because I don't have any. And Jesus said, look, you don't need a lot of faith. All you need is this much faith. In fact, Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you have this much faith, this much, you would tell that mountain to uproot itself from there, go across, and bury itself on the sea. If you had that much faith, and you believed in your heart without waver, if you believed in your heart without any doubt, that much faith. When it comes to serving God and serving others, this is how much faith you need. You know why? The first point is because God uses small things to accomplish big results. God uses small things to accomplish big results. When God wanted to create a new nation to call his own, he didn't start with a large established family. No, he didn't. You know who he chose? Instead, he chose a nomadic man and a woman too old to conceive a child. And said, go and start walking to the land that I will show you. When God wanted to take his children out of slavery, out of Egypt, he chose a man rejected by his own people who couldn't talk and spent most of his life leading sheep. When God wanted a king to represent his people, he chose somebody who didn't have a big name, who didn't come from a big family. He chose a shepherd boy who smelled like sheep. He wasn't old enough or strong enough to carry any type of armor, yet he defeated a large giant. When Jesus wanted to feed 5,000 people, he didn't go and call a catering service. What did he do? He did it out of a young boy's lunch sack. He says, what do you have there? Yeah, that's good enough. That's good enough. When Jesus watched people give, he wasn't even impressed with what they were giving. He was more impressed with the offering a widow gave, more so than the gifts that all those rich people were giving. When God came to earth as a human, he didn't choose a rich and famous family to be a part of. He came as a baby born in a barn to a poor and seemingly unimportant family. God uses small things to accomplish big things. You may look around and you say, we're small. Right? We're small. If we were to compare, this group of people with, other groups of people, we would say, we're very small. On the weak side. All right? Meeting in a school. On hard chairs, right? I mean, if you're a guy and you wear a wallet in your back pocket and you sit in these chairs, oh my goodness, you ask, for people to give you a warning before asking you to stand up because your leg is numb, right? It's bad. Yet God is telling us this morning that he wants to use small things to accomplish big results. How much do you need? Look at it. You have it in your hand. When God called Moses to deliver the people of Israel, you know what he asked? He didn't ask, so where'd you go to school? What was your GPA? What was your position? You know what he asked? He asked this, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Do you remember that question? What do you have in your hand? That's all you need. All you need is what you have in your hand. What you have in your hand right now, if you haven't lost it yet, if you haven't lost your faith, is a little mustard seed that represent the amount of faith that you need in order to accomplish anything and everything that God calls you to do. That is it. That is it. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29 says. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Do you fit in that category? Let's look at it, okay? In the eyes of the world, are we right now, wise people or kind of on the foolish side? Right? The world calls us fools, right? Because we believe what? In a risen Savior, right? That's foolish, right? There's no hard fact evidence for that, right? There is none. And so we're called fools. All right. How about on the weak versus strong? Are we on the strong side or the weak side? I know some of you would like to think that you're on the strong side, but let me break it to you. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're on the weak side. So am I. All right? So listen. God is choosing you. You and I are the exact people that God is calling. People who have it all figured out, who cannot just write a check for everything, you know, that is required. People who are, you know, on the struggling side, on the day-to-day kind of thing, you know, or the week-to-week. We just don't know how it's going to play out, how it's going to work out, how it's going to manifest itself. You know, God is saying, look, if you are in that kind of position, you're the candidate I'm looking for. You're the candidate I'm looking for. How much faith? This much faith. This much faith. Do you think you can muster that much faith? Right? If God said, you know what, you need a ton of faith, then I could see, you know, it takes a while to get there, if ever. But you and I, my friends, no pun intended, we can muster this much faith. Yes. Yes, sir. We can muster this much faith. Now, God uses small things to affect others. That's point number two. God uses small things to affect others. Think of all the Bible characters that you and I have learned about throughout our Christian life. There were small things to affect others. Can you give me an example of a small thing that God used to affect others in scriptures? Let's see. Right. Just a couple of loaves and some fish, okay? What else? To affect others. I gave you a hint before with Moses, right? He delivered a whole nation with a staff, a dried up staff. David and Goliath. What did he have? Just a little sling. How much armor did Goliath have? I mean, impenetrable. Any other examples that God, you know, small things that got used to impact big people? What's that? The blind man what? You remember last week, right? The spit? Yep. What else? Anything else come to mind? The hem of his robe. All right. What else? What's that? How about this? You remember that we read there, right? The lowly things of this world, the despised things of this world. How about this? How about the cross? Lowly, despised. In the eyes of all the armament that the Roman Empire had was small. Yet God used that to bring redemption to humanity. God uses small things to affect others. And so when you're asked to serve, when you're asked to serve God, all God is asking of you is for you to bring exactly what you have. And if you put it in God's hands, God will utilize that small gift, that small talent, whatever capability you may have. God is going to use that to affect others. But Pastor, I don't know how to do this. Oh, I don't know how to do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Get rid of that type of vocabulary and say, I have this much to offer. I can offer my time. I can offer my services. I can offer, you know, a little bit of my finances. I can offer, and if you do that, if you place what you have in God's hands, God will take that and multiply it as He always has to accomplish His goal and His mission and His call. Every single time. Every single time. Now, the next point is that God uses small things to multiply good. God uses small things to multiply good. Have you ever been, in a situation where two people were disputing with one another? And you were able just to say one thing to diffuse the whole situation? Oh, yeah. I got one almost amen. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that we are to be instruments of peace. That we are to be peacemakers. That we are to reflect God's purpose and love and compassion. Can you imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ around the world would really live out that call? It really irks me. I mean, and I don't know why, but it irks me with a great deal of aggravation. I hope I don't offend anybody here. To see somebody on television who's representing some church or some denomination, and they're arguing with what we would consider a heathen over some, you know, biblical or theological, because they feel like they have to defend God. It really, because, you know, and they're calling the other people names. I remember years and years ago when Ellen DeGeneres became, you know, she came out of the closet and she told the world that, you know, she was gay. And I remember one very known pastor, who got up and instead of, you know, saying his position and where he said, yeah, I really disagree with Ellen DeGeneres, and called her a name. No, God wants us to use the good and the peace that we have inside of us to multiply the good around us. Newsflash, God doesn't need you to defend Him. If God needed us to defend Him, He would not be God. Now, you can hold to your convictions. You can say, no, this I do believe, without any apologies, you know, and being nice and everything. No, this is what I put. You don't need to defend God. I remember when what was the name of that movie, that very controversial movie that came about, the Da Vinci Code. Do you remember the whole controversy when the Da Vinci, that was going to be the end of Christianity, according to some. Oh, if we don't stand and, you know, defend the truth of God, I mean, Christianity is going to, you know what, Christianity has suffered much more than just the release of a movie. And not only has it survived, sister, it has thrived, where Christianity is the fastest growing, you know, faith group in the world. Why? Because God took a small band of people who really carried out God's call of love and compassion and peace with them and multiplied it to the good. That's why God uses small things. If you look at history, that when the church has messed it up, it's when they've tried to use their own influence and power. Look throughout history. Whenever the church was in humility and walking, you know, close to God, even in their weakness, God used them to do great things. The minute they felt, well, we need to exert our influence and really, you know, show them who we are, is when we ran into problems. You know, the Crusades and so many ugly aspects of our history. Now, I know that this is not in your bulletin, but I want you to add one more. So add a number 4 at the end there. Because we've said that God uses small things to accomplish big results, right? We've said that. We've said that God uses small things to affect others. We've said that God uses small things to multiply good. And all these things are kind of out there, right? Are outside of ourselves. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, it's true that God uses small things to accomplish all these great things out there. But most of the problem is not out there, my friends. You know where most of the problem is? In here. In here. It's with us. God has laid a plan before us. He has shown us through scriptures. We've heard testimonies. We've heard of God doing great things. We've seen it over and over. And yet, that is not where the problem lies. The problem lies with us. And so I want us to add this fourth point there. And this is it. Take your mustard seed, right? Take your mustard seed. And I want you to say, God uses small things. Okay, some of you said it. God uses small things to impact our lives. Our lives. Now I want you to testify this morning. What small things has God used to impact your life? Would anybody care to share? What small things has God used to impact your life? I know that getting the first person to speak is always the hardest, so we're going to skip to the second person, all right? Forget the first person. If you don't speak, I'm going to go to the third. I'm gonna give you a little testimony. My dad was a radical, very violent guy, actually. He was the head of security for a political leader in Puerto Rico. And he was a tough guy. I mean, a real, real tough guy. And I feared this guy didn't mess around. Didn't mess around. And that's why he was the head of the security. He got word they were gonna do this political rally in one of the towns in Puerto Rico, and they got word that there was gonna be an attempt against the president of his party, who was running for the governorship of Puerto Rico during that time. I believe it was 1976. And so, you know, he positioned everybody, and, you know, everybody was on heightened alert. And, you know, they're working their security detail. And out of, they're out in a plaza. You know, I don't know if they have those in your country, but in my country, you know, every town has, like, the town square or plaza. And so, you know, they heard the commotion of somebody running through the crowd and making some very, very fast advance towards the front of the rally where the stage was. Everybody was in position. My dad was almost like the last line of defense. The guy got close. My dad reached for his firearm. He pulled it out. The guy, it was a young kid who was running towards him. My dad took out his gun, he put it right in the guy's head. And as he, you know, he came closer and he was ready to really do some damage to this guy said, "May the Lord bless you." Oh my. Oh my. May the Lord bless you. My dad testifies that when he heard those words, his gun dropped to the ground. He collapsed right there and then. He was a wreck. They had to take him. In fact, it was so strong. Those words were so strong that he was committed to a mental institution for about 30 days. And all he heard was the words, "May the Lord bless you. May 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 the Lord bless you." My dad, 30 days after, was completely transformed. And not only was he a radical when he was out, you know, and on the other team, he became a radical for Christ. And, you know, what God has been able to accomplish through him has been great. All because of a simple, simple phrase, "May the Lord bless you." Why do you think every time I get up to speak, I say, "May the peace of Christ be with you"? You think those are empty words? Those are powerful words. Yes. Children of Israel, you know, would greet each other with a "Shalom, peace be with you." Because we are in turmoil. See, I said that all those first three are things that are out there. But most of the problem is really not out there. It's where? It's in here. May the peace of Christ be with all of us. May his faith, as large as his mustard seed, engulf us. As we commit ourselves to doing God's ministry. Now, I'm gonna end with these things, okay? Because, you know, some people think that ministry is some very fancy word, right? Oh, I'm in the ministry. Remember, God wants to use the little that you have in order to accomplish big things, and that is through ministry. You know what ministry means? If you get down to the root of it, ministry in the Greek means dirty work. That's what it means. God wants to use what you have in your hands, the little that you have in your hands, to do big things, to do the dirty work. To do the dirty work. You know what ministry means in the Latin? Do you know? It means this: minuscule. Minuscule. Did anybody not get, I saw some guys who just came in, they were praying for us. Who needs a lot of faith? Who needs a lot of faith? You need a lot of faith? You need a lot of faith. Gary, you need a lot of faith. Okay, here you go. This is all you need, brother. That's all you need. That's all the faith you need. That is all the faith. You need a lot of faith? All right, that's all the faith you need, brother. That's it. That's all the faith you need. Now, this... Who needs? You lost your faith? Oh, let's gather around this sister. She lost her faith. There you go. There you go. There you go. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you in the way in which you minister to our lives and remind us that it's really not about us. Lord, sometimes we want to think that it's about us, but it's really not about us. It's about you, about what you want to accomplish in our lives, Lord. And we place ourselves in your hands, and we pray, oh God, that all these things would come to fruition. That through the faith that you've placed in our lives, we would accomplish great things for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.